This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I really like the Bills in the East this year. Even with the Newton acquisition, I think the Bills are the best team in the East. I've got them winning the East right now. But I think the real intrigue in this new playoff, you know, where's that extra team sneak in? You know what I mean? Like, I could see it. I think the East gets two teams in just based on a bunch of teams that are going to be in that 8-8 to 10-6 range, somewhere in there. Like, I think the East gets two in. I think the North gets two in. Everybody in the South every year is 9-7 or 8-8, right? So, but that extra team, or if there is one division that gets three in, who is that?
That is Tim Benz from ESPN Pittsburgh. He was a guest with Nate Geary on his show that's been preceding this show so far this week. It's early in the week. But Nate is in for One Bills Live this week. And, yeah, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed if you just went, oh, yeah, extra playoff team. That became official during this time, and it's just like one of those things I feel like I did not dwell on or spend enough time with because we were, you know, distracted by other things. But, yeah, that's happening.
At the time, we were talking division, too, so, yeah.
Right. Joining us right now on the Wester Hotline is one of our favorites, NFL draft writer for CBS Sports. He is Chris Trapasso. Chris, how you doing, buddy? How you holding up?
I'm doing pretty good, Bulldog. Thanks for having me again. I think after we had that cold spell that was basically like all of April and then a little bit of May, after that, I've been good. There was just that stretch of sub-40-degree weather with two young kids being cooped up in the house. It was tough, but it's with the nice weather here, I'm fine. I'm doing good.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, was the end of the school year? How young are the kids? Are the kids school age or are they littler than that?
They're not. My oldest, Lucy's almost three, and my youngest is like a year and a half. But we were just watching Frozen over and over again, going on walks where they're wearing winter hats and parkas on, you know, right after the draft in late April. So that was a unique experience for more than just coronavirus.
Yeah, man, what a grind. I mean, it's really I've said a lot here. My kids are 18 and 16, and you know there wasn't a lot of hand holding about the school stuff or really anything. You know, they're just, you know, they're able to function on their own.
Yeah.
And I like Mike's kids are like half that age, and anyone with kids that age or kids your age, I just wonder, like, man, what a trip this has had to be, because that's a lot. That's a lot, you know. Like, I can remember leaving to go to work when my kids were like the age of your kids are, and being like, oh my God, I made it out the door. All right, now I got to go to work.
Yeah, like what I've said is that like this will make myself and my wife so much more resilient for anything that comes in the future, because for to not be able to see anyone, to be cooped up in our house with the kids that age and with the temperature so cold out, it was like we could do anything now in the future, like bring it on, anything else. Maybe I shouldn't say that because 2020 has been so terrible, but just will make us a lot more resilient and more grateful for everything that we have in the future.
Yeah, careful. You sound like you're wishing for murder hornets or something.
I don't want those coming back again.
or meth gators, although I don't know. It would be a while before they migrate up here, I suppose. Anyway, Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, NFL draft writer, on the line with us. Obviously, Newton going to New England. I mean, it's not a draft story, but it is a football story, and it's a big one here. What are your thoughts? Just maybe, broad, big picture, and then we'll maybe get into some details on Newton going to the Patriots.
Yeah, big picture, and I actually wrote about this at CBS Sports, like right when this news came down the other night, that to me it raises the Patriots' floor. Like, I was not a believer in Jarrett Stidham when he was coming into the draft or into the NFL from Auburn. I was surprised when the Patriots picked him in the fourth round. I could have foreseen a situation where, yes, the defense is going to be good in New England with Belichick there and the personnel they have. Decent run game, but I thought he could be a really bad quarterback, and they could win 5, 6, maybe 7 games. I think with Cam Newton, that floor is raised. And then also big picture, he's certainly still very talented. He's 6'5", 240. But I'm just curious as to how much he will be used in the designed run game that we saw the last couple years in Carolina. I always kind of took it as Newton really didn't want to run the football as much and was talking to his offensive coordinators and Ron Rivera saying, hey, let's scale it back a little bit. I'm taking a lot of hits. And so it'll be interesting to see how much he's used in the run game. And if he is used a lot where he's the most dangerous when he can be that true dual threat, can he last an entire season? And he hasn't been able to do that in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that is like for them to get off the ground with this. Obviously, his health is at the very front of the line. I think if he's reasonably healthy, if he can run, it doesn't have to be like maybe what he was 5 years ago as a runner. But if he can still be a threat, then I think it's a big change to what New England's had offensively. As great as Brady is at what Brady does, you can find kind of a different way to move the ball if you've got a quarterback that has Newton's skill set.
Yeah, and that's the other kind of big picture takeaway is that it's going to be a different identity offensively. I mean, obviously Cam Newton and Tom Brady have almost polar opposite skill sets. We're not going to see as much dink and dunk. Yards after the catch probably won't be accentuated as much as it was really for the past 20 years. I don't think James White is going to have 100 catches out of the backfield. There'll probably be more of a downfield element to the passing game and probably just more heavy sets where Cam Newton will just carry the ball right off the shotgun snap. So we haven't really seen that from the Patriots in a while, and certainly Bills fans know how many times that the Bills lost a close game to the Patriots because of a missed tackle on Julian Edelman or Wes Welker or Danny Amendola in these games where you could just never get to Brady because he was getting rid of it so quickly. I think the offense is going to be a little bit more boom or bust. They'll hit big plays, but there'll be more three and outs. Cam Newton tends to hold the ball, obviously, a lot longer than Tom Brady did. So it's just interesting. We're used to this Patriots dink and dunk, yards after the catch offense, and that's probably not what we're going to see if Cam Newton is a starter this season.
Right, yeah, you've got Brady just putting the ball. Like, there's all kinds of accuracy, right? But like the Brady accuracy that allowed guys to max out on what they could do after catching a short pass is maybe a sneaky underrated part of his game, because like that's a lot of it.
Yeah, and there were so many times where, really, in the last 10 years, there's been different teams that the Bills have had good pass rushes, and there would be so many games where the Bills would come in with, a lot of team sacks, Jerry Hughes, Mario Williams in his prime, Kyle Williams the last couple of years, and they just were never really able to get to Brady or pressure him. And even in that game last year in New England that came down, that was a one-possession game, Brady ended up throwing, I think, for over 300 yards, and they never really got to him because he was just getting it out so quickly. Short passes, force one missed tackle, there's a first down. So I think if you – and certainly it's interesting, too, to tie into the Bills with their quarterback, Josh Allen, and what they have – all the Carolina kind of flair that they've brought up here to Buffalo with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, Bills fans kind of know what that offense looks like. Certainly Cam Newton is – a few steps ahead of where Josh Allen is in terms of his accomplishments, of course. But that style of offense is what we're going to see from New England. So, I mean, certainly for 20 years, the Bills weren't really able to stop Tom Brady and were had trouble tackling and getting to him. They'll probably have more opportunities to do so with Cam Newton, but now he provides that running threat that Tom Brady never had.
Talking with NFL draft writer for CBS, Chris Trapasso. He's on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. I have a feeling I you already told us your feelings on New England prior to this, so I assume you had the Bills as the favorite in the division. Now that the floor is raised for New England, I don't know, do we want to talk about their ceiling? Like, is it a lot of the betting sites are now making them co-favorites? Do you think that this elevates New England to being back on a lot? Do they automatically leapfrog Miami and the Jets?
Yeah, I think they do that. I would still put the Bills as slight favorites. I would say before this Cam Newton acquisition for New England, I was pretty confident that the Bills, not were going to run away with the division, win it by four games, but that they were the clear favorites. That if you look, certainly even if you give the Patriots the clear advantage in terms of the head coach with Bill Belichick, the rosters, if you're just stepping away, if you're not saying you live in Western New York, anything, just as an analyst, mm-hmm. the Bills roster is much better than the Patriots roster. And to upgrade for the Patriots, to upgrade the most important position, certainly elevates that. But in terms of the receiver group, the offensive line, the depth on defense, the Patriots still will have a good defense. They have Stephon Gilmore, the reigning defensive player of the year, some other good pieces, but they lost a lot in free agency on that side of the ball. And Belichick certainly can scheme defensive production, but I still think from top to bottom, the Bills have a better and certainly more cohesive roster. So I would still pick them as the favorites, but maybe let's say slight favorites instead of clear favorites at this point.
Yeah, I'm very much in alignment with you there. I was saying for a few weeks, and I got, you know, pushback mostly in the form of, like, you know don't say they're dead until they're dead, right? But that New England would just be, they're going to be bad. Like, there's no way with that quarterback play that I would expect, you know, knowing that Stidham is just an unknown, mm-hmm. but what we do know about him is that there's no reason to think he's going to step in and be, you know, anything close to what Brady gave them, even in a down year last year. So, yeah, I was like, they're 6-10 all day long with what they've got. And, but, you know, also, I sort of was waiting for this to happen, and it finally did. It took until the end of June, but they, you know, they made the move. So, you know, I'm real interested. I think a lot of football fans are like, I don't know. I consider myself a Newton fan, so mm-hmm. I don't love this landing spot for him. And I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I have found him very easy to root for over the years, and that's obviously going to be challenging now with him playing for the Patriots. But like, I wonder about the fit there. Do you have a thought on Cam Newton, the personality, going to New England?
Yeah, I know. I've seen quite a bit of that on social media, that it's that a lot of people are kind of insinuating that it's not a good fit, because he's certainly been willing to say or be more outspoken to the media. He has, you know, he dresses crazy after the games. He's posting stuff on Twitter, on Instagram a lot. He doesn't really have the blinders on as much as Tom Brady did, but everything that I've heard and read about him is that he's the ultimate competitor, and that even Bill Belichick, and it's kind of been circling around Twitter in 2017, was quoted saying that Cam Newton was the hardest quarterback to kind of game plan for. So I think as long as Bill Belichick is seeing Cam Newton work hard, and I think he is motivated now, then I don't think there'll be any problems from that perspective. But again, it just kind of goes back to Cam Newton, the dual threat quarterback, is, like Belichick said, the toughest guy to defend in the league in terms of just formulating a game plan. If you take away that running aspect, if he says, hey, I can't really carry the ball 130, 40 times anymore, is he really as much of a needle mover? And that's probably no is the answer to that. It'd be like if you take the running element really away from Josh Allen, then I think the Bills would be a much more stagnant offense. So that's just really what I'm going to be watching, how many times Josh McDaniels schemes Cam Newton to run the football, maybe with a fullback or a pulling blocker in front of him, because that's when he won the MVP. He was doing that in 2015 with the Panthers.
Talking with Chris Trapasso from CBS. He's an NFL draft analyst for them. You can find him on Twitter, of course, just like you can find everyone at Chris Trapasso. Well, you can't find everyone at Chris Trapasso. That would be idiotic. But anyway, that's where you find him. You already said you like the Bills roster overall. They were the clear favorite and still a favorite in your eyes. How do you think they stack up in the conference? Baltimore and Kansas City certainly seem like the kings of the block right now, and rightly so. Indianapolis has a really nice roster, and they added Phillip Rivers. I'd like to know where you stand on him at this point. What do you think about the lay of the land in the conference, Chris?
Yeah, right now, and I actually just tweeted this a few days ago, I think the Bills have the third best roster in the AFC. That just from top to bottom, and certainly the person that would kind of move the needle the most would be how you feel about Josh Allen. But if you say that he's just going to be a similar quarterback to what he was in 2019, the rest of the roster, it's hard to find another team that is as well-rounded and has a good mixture of top-end talent like the Bills do with Stephon Diggs, with Jerry Hughes, even with John Brown to a certain degree. Devin Singletary really emerged down the stretch last year as a rookie. Ed Oliver certainly played well down the stretch. All five of his sacks came after November last season. And depth, the defensive line depth, the secondary depth, certainly wide receiver. I like the Colts, and I do think that Phillip Rivers behind that offensive line is going to play well, because that's always been kind of the Achilles heel for him, where he's thrown a lot more interceptions, is because the Chargers' line has not been good in years. I'm just a little bit concerned about the Colts. How much youth they have. They have, you know, at wide receiver outside of T.Y. Hilton, they're going to rely on a lot of young players. Same thing on defense. They've drafted a lot of athletic players in the last couple years under GM Chris Ballard, but a lot of young guys that they're hoping to step in and really contribute when they haven't shown the ability to be super productive yet. So I still think the Bills have the third best roster. Does that mean I think they're going to be the 3 seed? I don't know if I'll say that, because, again, Josh Allen could really sway this team from, I think, 12-4 down to maybe 7-9 or 8-8. But that's kind of the range I see for the Bills. And really, the two teams that are the clear favorites are really the only clubs I see ahead of the Bills in terms of overall just how good this roster has been put together by Brandon Bean.
Chris, as far as Allen goes and his development, I mean, you know, we'll see how it all turns out, obviously. Could there be an easier thing to say? But something I've been fond of saying, I'd like to bounce it off you, is that considering his path, like the Bills can't afford to wait forever, right? It is the NFL, and you have to produce. So I think this year is a really, really big year. But in terms of guys making progress over the first year or two or three of their careers, I feel like Allen was starting further back than a lot of guys, because he wasn't like the A-list college recruit to begin with, and he ends up at Wyoming, and, you know, obviously that's Wyoming. It's not the SEC, it's not the ACC, it's not the Big Ten. So he's playing at a certain level, and I feel like the coaching he's getting is at a certain level, and the concepts maybe even he's working with are at a certain level. And then he gets to the NFL, and I feel like there's more ground to make up for him than Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, say, right? So if I get in an optimistic place about Allen, it's mostly starting from there, that there was more ground to make up, and maybe he's got a chance to do it.
Yeah, certainly I think that's spot on, that he was certainly coming from a lower level of everything, competition, coaching in college, in terms of where he was as a recruit, and really where he was as a rookie. I think it seems like a distant memory at this point, but the first couple of starts after he took over for Nathan Peterman, that game in Green Bay, I mean, Josh Allen did not look like a starting quarterback in the NFL. And then down the stretch as a rookie, he made some big throws to Robert Foster, but in general, I came away from his rookie year saying, okay, he flashed a little bit, but he has still a long way to go. And with the line improving, with John Brown and Cole Beasley, really showed how important, and that we're still almost probably understating how valuable the supporting cast is for a young quarterback, especially one like Josh Allen, because he got better inside the pocket, staying there after a couple of those hero ball interceptions against the Patriots and the Titans early in the season. He took care of the football a lot better as a passer, and he was just outstanding at the 10 to 19 yard range where a lot of quarterbacks' throws are made, and you can really separate the bad from the good and the good from the great. So the one thing I will say, though, is that being a draft analyst, I remember in 2018 that everyone, and I'm sure you guys talked about it, Josh Allen, he can't hit the broadside of a barn. He's so inaccurate. Every throw is just wayward accuracy. But if you go back and watch his Wyoming film, when they played Boise State, when they played Iowa, he looks terrible. He looks like an undrafted free agent with a big arm, and all those narratives were true. But if you go and watch when the competition was similar in the Mountain West, where he was able to have time inside the pocket like he did last year in Buffalo and had receivers who could get open against that level of competition, he was throwing accurate darts all over the field. And I remember writing that before he was drafted, saying, hey, look, I still like five other quarterbacks ahead of him because he's coming from such a low place in terms of how raw he is. But if he lands in a good situation, his talent is through the roof. And I think it's really just a testament to what Brandon Bean has done and what has continued to do to say, okay, we don't have this perfect quarterback that's going to mask flaws, but let's truly insulate him with a ton of talent and see what he can do. So that's why I think we're seeing that maturation from him when maybe Sam Darnold has not really improved at all in his two seasons with the Jets.
Boy, situation matters a lot. Sal mentions that all the time to us here. You know, thinking about Darnold, you can even think about Rosen if you want. Like if for some reason the Bills, I don't think they were ever going to do it, but if they had liked Rosen and chose him and Arizona lands on Allen, maybe Allen is living the exact same life as Josh Rosen. Like he's there for a year. There's a coaching change. Yep. We're going to make another change. And he's just never gets his feet under him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be certainly a plausible outcome, but I think what's all interesting to tie this interview back together is that Brandon Bean saw a Cam Newton-type quarterback in Josh Allen, and they've kind of built that team similar to how the 2011, 2012, 2013 Panthers were built before they really swelled and went 15-1 and Cam Newton won the MVP. So I think that's why the Bills gravitated to Josh Allen, because of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, knowing what how to build a team around a quarterback with that 6'5", 240 with a big arm that might not be super precise but is also a dangerous player with the football in his hands as a runner.
Chris, last thing for you. Is there a guy, maybe there's a few of them, but from the draft class of 2020 for the Bills, I mean, you're talking about their roster being good and the depth that they have. Like who, I mean, Zach Moss probably is an easy one, but who do you think will have an impact here? Do either of the receivers have a chance, do you think?
Well, I guess I'll go with kind of a bold prediction here in that I think that Isaiah Hodgins, the sixth-round pick, has a better chance to make the team and to produce as a rookie than Gabriel Davis. And a few reasons for that is, and I had them both graded similarly. I was very high on both of them, had second-round grades on both wide receivers. But Isaiah Hodgins ran more routes at Oregon State. I thought he was a crisper route runner and a lot of double moves. I thought he was better in contested catch situations, and he's a little bit bigger. That Gabriel Davis truly at UCF, if you watch his film, that's an air raid system, and he was just running go route, slant, go route, screen, go route. Like, I think he has a more compact frame, and maybe the Bills saw something in that he could be a better route runner, and maybe he's better after the catch because he's more built like a running back. Isaiah Hodgins is very tall and kind of lanky, but I just think unless we're going to kind of pencil in Duke Williams into this, starting lineup or to be one of the secondary wide receivers, I think Isaiah Hodgins and how he really is a rebounder on the outside who's a legitimate 6'4", who also can separate a little bit, even though he's a sixth rounder, I think he's the one that fans outside of the obvious like Zach Moss should really be watching during training camp, and maybe if we get two preseason games to see, because I think he has a better chance than Gabriel Davis to be that number four, number five option and be a pretty good rookie for the Bills.
All right. Awesome stuff, Chris. Thank you very much for all this. Always appreciate it, and look forward to doing it again soon, man.
All right, Bulldog. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.